IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint,
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A warm welcome to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, the host of this program, and my dear guest and guest speakers here in the studio again, Brother Hussein and Brother Sayyid Abdullah. Brother Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Well, Brother Hussein, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the program again.
Wa alaikum assalam. Glad to be here.
Welcome. Well, we promised our listeners and audience to continue criticizing the movie The Da Vinci Code, produced in 2006 with Tom Hanks playing in it. And we covered the very basics of the criticism of the movie, of course, not artistically, but rather content-wise. And we hope to continue that. Let's take a short break and listen to a part of the movie Da Vinci Code, produced in 2006, and we'll come back criticizing it.
Above the joint.
Fortunately, a dragon most easy to slay is wearing a cilice.
What?
Well, look.
Oh, inflicts pain so he can suffer as Christ suffered.
Oh.
Not so common these days.
Opus Dei. Remy, take care of this.
Back to the program. Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. And we are trying to criticize the movie The Da Vinci Code, produced in 2006. It was, in fact, played by Tom Hanks, the major character in it. Brother Hussein, in a part of the movie you just listened to, in fact, there is this antagonist character, the priest, the albino, basically.
Silas, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he tortures himself. And in one of the scenes, he tortures himself and, you know, after saying, "I chastise myself." Well,
yep.
In Latin, of course, you know. Why do some religious groups, well, in this movie in particular, Christian monks, self-torture? You know, we have self-flagellation in some of these sects. Some extremists, in fact, try to inflict torture upon their body. Why is it so?
First of all, I'd like to say that Silas was one of my favorite characters in this mm-hmm. movie. Paul Bettany is such a talented actor, honestly. Mm-hmm. He can play
yes.
any role. So Silas, for example, he kind of represents, you know, one of those extremist sects that you were talking about. Of course, we have to know that sacrifice is a very important part of many religions, mm-hmm. not just Christianity, and it's not just part of extremism. We sacrifice things on a daily basis, you know,
yes.
for we sacrifice our rest or time or, you know, whatever it is, we sacrifice it. But of course, the purpose is the most important part.
Mm-hmm.
So in regards to religion, the religious people sometimes sacrifice things for, you know, a future benefit or even, even if they don't know when this is going to benefit them. For example, I think Silas was, you know, self-flagellating, like you were saying, and torturing himself.
Yes,
because he believed that, like, you know, in the hereafter, that, you know, he'd achieve what this sacrifice meant.
Before asking another part of the movie, let's take a listen to a portion of this movie, and then we'll be back.
Let's cover the talking points again, Your Eminence.
Many call Opus Dei a brainwashing cult. Others an ultra-conservative Christian secret society.
We are a simple Catholic church.
Simple? With a brand new $47 million headquarters in Manhattan.
Our followers are generous. Should we apologize for that?
Perhaps a less defensive tack, Your Eminence. The press continue to be harsh with us.
We are not, cafeteria Catholics. We don't pick and choose which rules to follow. We follow doctrine rigorously.
Does doctrine necessarily include vows of chastity, tithing, and atonement for sins through self-flagellation and the cilice?
Many of our followers are married. Many of them have families. Only a small proportion choose to live ascetically in the cloisters of our residential halls. But we are all united in God's work around the world. Surely that is an admirable way to lead one's life.
Then why are some media referring to Opus Dei as God's mafia?
Obviously, some people fear what they don't understand.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio. And we are talking about Da Vinci Code and trying to critique this movie, in fact, rather religiously speaking and content-wise. Well, Sayyid Abdullah, you know, why do some religions basically lend themselves easily to different branches and sects? We don't have one, for example, one and whole body of, for example, one religion, and then that's it. But they branch out to different, sects and denominations altogether, and some of them, not to mention, very extremist, radical. I say that because of this part of the movie, that there is this interview about the Christian cult on the plane. It happens, if you notice. They are talking about this Christian cult, the secret society, and all together, and the rest of it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are a few factors that causes religions to split and have too many sects and schools of thought.
Yes.
One of the main factors is time. With all religions, when the time period between the founder of the religion itself and the followers, when the gap increases and becomes bigger, and they obviously, you know, they are far away from their prophet, people start to interpret their own interpretation of religion. And then, we have people who form their ideas and their ideology and theology.
Yes.
And they think this is what's correct. And what causes that is the time gap between them and their prophet. Because time constantly change.
Yes.
New issues arise. New affairs come to life.
Yes.
And how do you deal with it? Now, you don't have a prophet. You don't have a disciple or a saint from the prophet himself to tell you these things. So what you end up doing is coming up with your own ideas and theories, and obviously you give it that religious
taste
or theme, and then you derive. Someone else looks at it and is like, no, you got it completely wrong, and he says his own. And therefore you see with all religions, it's pretty much the case. And not just religions, like with all, any ideology. The further it moves away from the time of creation, the time of finding or founding, it starts to separate. So I say the main factor is time. And obviously the followers themselves, sometimes when they don't stick to the text itself, that they also go sideways. So for whether it's Christianity, Judaism, or Islam, they all went through the same process.
Yes.
Or at a certain stage, they said, nah, I got to do something different. They derail. That's one factor. The other factor is the government of the time as well plays a major role. Now, with Christianity, obviously we had that issue. With the Romans and the Catholic, they had that issue. In Islam, we had the same issue. I'm not sure if Judaism had the same issue as well. But when the government sees that the religion becomes a threat to it, they try to create their own form of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, when they create their own form of religion, they will obviously also give it that taste, like you said, or that
theme
as well.
They inject everything they want to, which is in their own favor.
Yeah, and they force it into people. And if so it happens by force and then becomes a norm. And then when new generations come, they take it as this is what it is.
Yes.
And then you have different factions. So these are.
But what about the traditions and narrations we have, for example, in Islam? Because you also said Islam went through the same process. So basically, there should be like, they function as a kind of guideline for others when they follow them. The followers would find it pretty informative, not to, let's say, go astray, basically.
Well, that's a problem because, like, let's take Islam, for example. We have the Arabic language issue, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So back in the day, the language was one thing. So you can read the hadith back in the day and you understand exactly what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Move on 100 years,
yes,
and that word has, like, 100 meanings.
Exactly.
Like, for example, a simple text. The Prophet says, "Man kuntu mawla fahada alin mawla."
Yes.
Mawla is master. Right, and Arabs back then, they understood exactly what it is. They submitted to the fact. They shook hands with Amir al-Mu'minin. End of the story.
Yes.
You move in 50 years, 100 years, and Mawla, all of a sudden,
becomes
has 20
friend
meanings.
Or something.
Yeah, it has a meaning, and the most common one is a friend. It doesn't mean master. So that obviously creates a problem. So whether it's time, whether it's language, so there are barriers that people create. And obviously, if you find a text yourself that's against you, you will have to, you are forced to give it a different meaning just so it does not collide with you.
Yes.
Or at least you push it away.
Right.
And say, well, that's not true.
Okay.
And so, for example, with Judaism, they used to write their own things. Like they said, okay, this is what the Torah says, we're going to write. And the Quran says.
Talmud is very famous.
Yes. Yeah, so the Quran says they write it with their own hands. And, you know. So this happens.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah. Let's take a listen to another portion of this movie, The Da Vinci Code, and we'll be back criticizing it.
Any ideas, Professor?
You could have just handed me a piece of a UFO from Area 51.
What's the next step? With him, it's always, Sophie, what's the next step? Puzzles, codes.
A treasure hunt.
Find his killer. Maybe there is something about this Priory of Sion.
I hope not. Any Priory story ends in bloodshed. They were butchered by the church. It all started over 1,000 years ago when a French king conquered the holy city of Jerusalem. This crusade, one of the most massive, sweeping in history, was actually orchestrated by a secret brotherhood. The Priory of Sion, and their military arm, the Knights Templar.
But the Templars were created to protect the Holy Land.
That was a cover, to hide their true goal, according to this myth. Supposedly, the invasion was to find an artifact, lost since the time of Christ. An artifact, it was said, the Church would kill to possess.
Back to the program, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We're still analyzing and criticizing the movie The Da Vinci Code, produced in 2006. And I'm going to ask you, Brother Hussein, about a part where there is an emphasis. Of course, you can find it throughout this movie, The Da Vinci Code, you know. There is an emphasis and too much emphasis on, or lots of differences to codes and symbols, as it is carried by its title, The Da Vinci Code itself, right? So codes, symbols, in fact, appear and resurface on and on throughout the movie from the beginning, as Sayyid Abdullah was talking about, like those images that the symbologist professor, in fact, was trying to show to his students at a lecture at Harvard University. Well, so there is too much emphasis on that, first of all. Why? And are there codes in religion? Do religion need codes to transfer their messages? We know for one thing, like when I say transfer their messages, like to obviously to generations after the first generation, as Sid Abdullah was referring to in the other part of our episode. You know, when, for example, when it happens, like a lot of things or the meaning changes throughout time, like with one word, like Vali, when it was saying, or Mola, for example, it may happen to other things too, right? And not only that, but also I just wanted to emphasize that when I say codes, for example, or symbols, we have the idea or the number of 3, which is very sacred, 4, 7, 40, 12. These numbers become very holy and sacred in most of the religions, even in Islam. Why is it like that?
Well, see, the thing is, every major organization or religion or association has to have some sort of emblem or like icon so that you can associate it with the organization or the religion.
Yes.
Christianity's most famous icon is, for example, the cross, because that's where Jesus Christ was crucified. And it became a very strong symbol for them because of of what happened and the events that relate to this. So I think codes are important in religion and in these other organizations because it helps people associate with it. And this religion has a lot of emphasis. I mean, the main character is a symbologist, so yes, it kind of only makes sense. But of course, it's important because it shows you the real hidden meaning behind some of these symbols or codes. Mm-hmm. For example, Sayyid Abdullah was saying, how the peace sign actually is a satanic icon or symbol, many other symbols that are out there that are picked up very easily by pop culture, mm-hmm, and just spread like wildfire. And we have to really know the meaning behind these symbols before we associate with them.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah, for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We were trying to analyze and criticize the movie Da Vinci Code, produced in 2006 here in this episode, but the analysis and the critique is not over, so we'll have to continue that in an upcoming episode. For now, from the rest of the crew, I say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Witness the biggest cover-up in human history.
You're seeing all this is real?
Real enough to kill for.